boxes of masters.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday? This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Not exactly. Jerome Solomon, voice contender Bauer, sitting in for Fred and AJ this afternoon. Welcome into the second hour of The Blitz. Also, you'll hear another voice in a few seconds. It's not Moise Kapinde trying to act like someone else. It's actually Lauren Leal joining us here on the show. Welcome in, Lauren. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks. I'm glad to be here. How are you doing?
Just lovely. Now, you interned at the station?
I did, about a year ago now.
And did they treat you well?
They treated me pretty good.
It doesn't sound like it. John was just saying that one of your commercials is running and they didn't pay you for this?
Hey, that's what an intern does.
Oh, that's just not right. That's what a slave does. That's two different things. It's not the same at all. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-ESPN. I'm at Jerome Solomon on Twitter. MK is at Moise Kapinde. Your Twitter handle is?
My Twitter handle?
Mm-hmm.
It is 9 Lauren L.
9 Lauren L. At 9 Lauren L for Lauren. We were talking a little bit about the Rockets and coaches, and we got a couple of phone calls. We'll grab a couple of phone calls, and we'll get back into it. And I have a couple of places we want to go here. 713-780-ESPN. Easy. You want to talk about the Texans? Jump in, Easy. What do you got?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Just lovely. Sportsy, hey, what's up?
Pretty good. All right. What are the odds that Mike Vrabel gets looked at as Houston's defensive coordinator over Romeo? I'll hang up and listen, man. All right.
There's got to be something to him even coming back.
It's an eventuality, right?
Yeah. You would think that's just – he's a defensive coordinator in waiting, as it were. But he might bypass that and bail and get a better spot somewhere else, but he had a chance to do that this offseason.
And I think that the opportunity is going to exist here for him. And I think if he understands, if he feels comfortable with his relationship with Bill O'Brien and he feels really good about who he has in-house defensively as players, then he waits it out. And I don't think he's going to have to wait out for a long time. I think where Romo is in his career, he doesn't have that much longer to go with him being the head man in charge of a defense.
He's only like 92 years old.
So, and I think at this point, with all that we've learned about Vrabel, and that both as in terms of performance and relationship with players, he's clearly the next guy up.
I'm wondering if he might get a head coaching opportunity in college and go, hey, I'd rather go back to the college level.
You would think that a guy of his ilk would rather be a DC in an NFL situation than a head coach in a college situation.
He is a big Ohio State guy, but he was on that staff for a long time. That's where he got his coaching start. I think he likes the college game, but, it's good to have options, and he'll definitely have plenty of those. Nate, you're on the Blitz. Talk to me.
Hey, sports guys. I was wondering what were the odds going to be if Houston actually beating Utah out of the playoff spot. I'll hang up and listen to you guys.
I think the Rockets are probably 70% that they'll get in. I don't know if it's over Utah as over Dallas.
That's specifically the issue. Over Utah, not that great. Over Dallas, very, very good. Utah's done so much defensively down the stretch of the season, really late last season, to set the table for this year, that you felt good about them making a run this season. And it's kind of come to fruition late. I just think that with where they are as a franchise, with their youth and their togetherness and just their growing under Quinn Snyder, they're certainly in a position now to get into the postseason more so than Dallas. So over Utah, specifically Houston, what, 25% over Dallas? Yeah, 70-75%, as you noted.
Mm. Now, ESPN 713-780-3776 is your number. ESPN has it up online. I guess it's probably running on their shows now, the Adam Schefter interview with Greg Hardy, and it's receiving quite a bit of notice, and certainly a lot of people are upset at things he said, and we'll have probably some of that stuff too. But here's Michelle Beadle of ESPN and her response to the network even giving Greg Hardy the platform.
I
feel dirty in that this guy has no job right now. And for some reason, we've decided as a network that we're going to give him the stage for his redemption tour as he basically goes out and tries to find some employment. I don't understand why we're doing that. If he wants to figure out a way to get his message out there, which, by the way, he hasn't said he did anything wrong. So how a man is supposed to convince anybody he's changed and yet not admit to actually doing anything, I have no idea. But why we're giving him the forum to go out there and tell anybody that is where I'm a little bit confused.
What are your thoughts on just the idea of, I mean, should he not be allowed? They're not allowed to talk. He's allowed to talk. Should
I don't see
people
what,
not interview him?
I don't see what the point, what purpose it serves to bend over backwards to give him a platform. Look, he's the type of character that you wouldn't want to align yourself with under normal circumstances. Given his circumstances, it does seem like ESPN is trying to put him in position to leverage that relationship with Adam Schefter, or at least that interview, into an opportunity somewhere else. And I don't understand why they would want to do that. I don't get what purpose it serves, because I think by and large, when you talk about controversial figures and people want to hear what they have to say,
right?
Adrian Peterson, I want to hear what he has to say about beating his son with a switch. I was curious about that. I really don't care what Greg Hardy has to say, so I don't understand if there's really a demand in place to put him in position to speak. It just doesn't really make a lot of sense to me, and I agree with Michelle here. Why are they getting in bed with him when he still won't even admit his wrongdoing here?
Lauren?
I agree with MK.
Is that short and sweet and that simple?
Yes.
But people are talking about it, though. So do you not? I mean, is that similar to the running discussion of late that, well, people shouldn't just put Donald Trump on just because he has crazy things to say? I mean,
it's like what you said earlier about Deflategate. Like he was saying, you know, why throw it out there? It's so old news, but that people are still talking about it.
No, you're talking about it because you put him on TV. Look, Greg Hardy was not in my mind. He was not in my consciousness at all.
ESPN is a television network. That's what they do. No,
there's a fine line between reporting news and creating news to report on. And I think in this situation, you're creating a situation. You're creating a topic by putting a microphone in his face when really most people were just like, I don't care about this dude.
Yeah.
Now it's a topic of conversation because you interviewed him and you got everybody all riled up about it. And it didn't need to even happen. Look, he performed decent enough for the Cowboys to have a job, but he is a locker room cancer based on his behavior. That's why he does not have a job. And we'll talk about RG3 in a minute. When you're that bad of a guy, you don't get jobs. And that's why Johnny Manziel does not have a job right now, because no one wants to touch him. And I feel the same way about Hardy, so why put him in position?
Well, now there's an Instagram model that wants to touch Johnny pretty regularly from what I've seen.
I found his story more compelling than Greg Hardy. I would rather they would have spent time to find Johnny and talk to Johnny than Greg Hardy.
Find Johnny. Where is Johnny? But he's out and about. He's Johnny Manziel is such a disaster. But now you talk about making news and getting eyes and ears and clicks. Johnny Manziel is a walking, you know,
click.
Exactly. 713-780 ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Jamel Hill. Not at all pleased with Mr. Hardy as what woman is based on the accusations against him, the pictures that we saw and what the young lady testified that he did to her. And then of course, she took the money and disappeared. So I guess you could still have some level of sympathy for what she went through, but you also say, well, she's the one that decided to be bought off, right?
She sold out. Yeah, when you sell out, then at some point you just kind of back away from the sympathy for her, because she was in a power play position to really get him in the level of trouble he deserved.
Because he should be locked up.
He should be locked up. But she backed out of it to take some money and go away. At that point, you're like, well, forget you then. But I don't have to hear Greg Hardy talk about it, you know?
Well, let's hear Jamel Hill talk about it.
Greg Hardy is despicable.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope he never wears another NFL uniform again. And if you choose to sign him, I hope you get exactly what the Cowboys got, which is absolutely nothing and little to no return for somebody who honestly has no redeeming value. To hear him say some of the things that he said, like, let's just start with, you know, that's something frowned upon in Southern homes. Do you know they have a list of the top 10 worst states in which women are most likely to be killed by men over the past decade? Number one is South Carolina. Number four is Louisiana. And I'm not just picking on them saying that domestic violence and crimes and violence against women only happen in those states. Exactly. But I just want people to understand how very stupid some of the things that come out of his mouth are.
Mm-hmm.
It just is amazing to me I don't know who he's surrounded by. I don't really care. All right. But what you can't do is that.
Yeah.
And he has unfortunately done too much of that, from the tweets to the Cowboys having to have any conversation with him at all about any professionalism throughout the season is an indicator of what you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And it is, for me, showing remorse and contrition and at least accountability is an important part of the forgiveness process, or for that matter, of showing people that maybe you're not what we think that you are.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Hardy, time and time again, shows us exactly who we all think him to be.
Now, Jamel's a good friend of mine, so I'm not criticizing her specifically. I'm just disagreeing with one little portion of it, and I just disagree with most people on this. I don't really believe in that redemption thing on certain issues, and this is kind of one of them. Like, they were like, people keep talking about Greg Hardy needs to show that he's changed.
Well, it's irredeemable.
How do you change from that?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you change from when, if that's the way you feel that you can handle women? I'll never have any respect for
it. I feel similarly about what Adrian Peterson did to a child. It's a slippery slope, but to me, what he did is almost as egregious as what Greg Hardy did, because that child's so helpless. And that's a despicable thing that he did. We kind of all turn our back.
Yeah,
and maybe,
that's a completely different discussion. But I think through all accounts, Adrian wasn't trying to hurt, you know, to that. I mean, it was just
the fine line between discipline and hurting.
But.
And I think you're hurting your child to discipline.
But there is no fine line when it comes to beating women, though.
Absolutely.
So at least there's room for debate on disciplining children, whereas women that need to be disciplined.
Well,
maybe 713.
That was about to be
a really horrible joke. 713-780. ESPN 713-780-3776. Let's talk about something a lot more fun when we come back. White people food. This is the Blitz.
Okay.
Not at all. And y'all can tell from the music, too. Jung is like, you know, that married man when his wife go out of town for the weekend or something, and he got the house to himself, and he can play his own music and walk around in his drawers.
Is there anything worse than the radio version of Straight Outta Compton?
It's not the same song.
It's so not the same song.
Yeah, but there are some songs where the actual radio version, I think, was better than the nasty version.
Mind playing tricks on me?
How'd you know I was going to go there? The clean version is so much better than the other one.
The other one
is just gratuitous for no reason.
For no reason.
And you take four B's, that's part of the flavor of the song.
That's the perfect example of why that was so unnecessary, just to add that in, the MF, just to add the MF, when Fifth Ward B's made so much more. It fit the narrative of the entire song better.
Mm-hmm.
Not Straight Outta Compton, though. I don't need Ice Cube changing the lyrics to avoid some of those words that just had... It hit me right in the heart when I was young.
You don't want to do that. But, yeah, John's running off all the white people listening to the show. Let's try to bring them back in. Did you see Dale Earnhardt?
Now, look, I'm
not racist. And, of course, anybody who say that, the next thing that comes out of their mouth.
It's so racist.
But I don't even like white food. Like, white food, not white
What's
people
considered
food.
White food?
Yeah, I'm curious about this, too.
Mayonnaise.
You don't like mayonnaise?
I had to learn how to eat mayonnaise later in life.
How is it white? You mean the color? White bread?
Yeah.
White rice?
I mean, I'll eat rice and potatoes. That's about the otherwise white. But you know, sour cream. That's nasty
good.
Stuff.
Sour cream on chili.
You know,
real deal, son.
Ranch dressing, blue cheese. It's not a racial thing. It's a color. But Dale Earnhardt.
It's coincidence, I think.
Dale Earnhardt Jr. is taking the white food to the extreme with white bread, mayonnaise, and banana sandwich. Ugh.
Shame.
Who would eat this?
I wouldn't. And I'm white.
So it's not a white thing.
No, it's not a white thing.
And I'm clearly an adventurous eater. I think anybody who knows me understands that. I don't understand how you get to a point in your mind where you're like, let me mix mayonnaise and bananas together.
I know people eat bananas and peanut butter.
And I've tried that.
And you like it?
Why would people even try that? That too, but I haven't tried it.
That was Elvis's sandwich of note.
Okay.
Fried peanut butter and banana sandwich.
Oh.
It was way too strong. It was a powerfully sweet sandwich.
Really?
Yeah. the mayonnaise and just conceptualizing. How do you get to that point?
How did you accident? I mean, were you really like drunk one night and you were just in the kitchen? It was dark and you thought the banana was, you know, a sausage or something.
But even sausage and mayonnaise probably wouldn't be all that good together.
White people do that though.
She
will slap. Wait, you do what? You put mayonnaise on anything?
Oh yes, I love mayonnaise.
See, that's white thing.
Like crazy.
See, and I'd put mustard on pretty much anything.
I love mustard too.
Yeah, but see, is that a black thing? Because I don't know a lot of black people eat mustard.
Really?
No.
You're from Clearbrook area.
Yeah. This is true.
That's a different.
This is a different set of black people. I'll be the first to acknowledge that.
You from the Brook.
Our friends with black folk are not the same as, you know, Fifth Ward black folk.
You're not from Forest Brook.
I'm going to stay out of this one.
Yeah, that's a private thing between MK and I. He went to the wrong Brook. But, mustard. Yeah, black people eat mustard. I take my burgers with extra mustard.
Well, no, that's fine. I don't think that's a cultural thing.
Really?
No.
Okay, I thought it made me more black.
No, I would disagree with that.
I've been... Say it proud.
No, black.
I didn't know that I
was. A black thing
down.
Is people burning their steak to well done and putting ketchup on their steak and putting steak sauce. That's a cultural thing. That's why I look at other black people like, what's wrong with you? But no, mustard. I think I'm going to disagree with that one. Your hesitancy to put mayonnaise on anything. I think it's just you. That's a bizarre thing.
I don't think it's that bizarre. It's mayonnaise. It's white. 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. Lanny on a What Are the Odds Wednesday. Start talking.
Hi, gents. I have a quick question about the Rockets draft choice, and then I'll put an odds on a related question. Somebody told me that they traded away their first round draft pick. Is that correct?
Yes,
in the Ty Lawson trade.
Pardon me?
In the Ty Lawson trade.
Yeah. Did y'all hear me?
Yeah, in the Ty Lawson trade, he said. Because they assumed that it would be a low draft pick because, you know, they assumed they would be, you know, somewhere like they were last year where they were the number two seed in Western Conference. So they just assumed that the draft pick wouldn't be worth anything. I mean, and that's, you know, it kind of made sense at the time. And the Ty Lawson thing did not work out. And it did not work out for reasons no one could have foreseen. I didn't blame Daryl Morey for making that move. I figured if it didn't work out, that it would be because Ty Lawson got arrested for drinking and driving or something. I didn't know it would not work out because Ty Lawson couldn't play.
Couldn't play anymore at 29 years old.
I cannot figure that one out at all. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Now, Lauren, you're talking about Merle Haggard's dying on his birthday. Are you a Merle Haggard fan?
I am.
Really?
I am. Mama Tried. I don't know if y'all know that reference. It's one of his famous songs.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know some Merle Haggard. Why do you act like I don't?
Well, no one said anything. I said Mama Tried.
You don't like mayonnaise or white rice, so maybe, you know, we back it away from you on this situation.
I'm a Merle Haggard fan. I mean, his life story is just fascinating to me. I was going to ask you part of his life story that you probably don't even know.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
Merle was married 5 times, but when they make a movie, it should be really good because the guy's pretty fascinating. But Merle was so cool, as I tell people on Twitter today. His second wife was a bridesmaid in his third wedding. And it happened the same year. He divorced her, got married a few months later, and she was a bridesmaid in the wedding. That's how cool he was.
Good luck getting a sister to do that.
Is that another white thing? But that might just be a country music thing. Because he married, she used to be married to some other country singer. So, you know, they kind of
swap.
I stand by my statement.
and Merle Haggard, I mean, he was in and out of prison when he was young, and it's just a fascinating story of how he, you know, became a singer and, I mean, put out good music. But yeah, rest in peace, Merle Haggard. And no, it's not a white thing like Merle Haggard.
No, I love Johnny Cash.
Yeah, he was in prison. Johnny Cash in San Quentin. Johnny Cash came there and visited the prison. and played, and that's one of the reasons Merle said, well, I need to go ahead and
get my life together
and stop, you know, stop going to jail and try to do some music here. And he was in on a plan with a guy to bust out of prison. And the guy, you know, perfect nickname for a guy who busts out of prison, nickname Rabbit. So Rabbit went ahead with the plan without Merle, got out, broke away, escaped, shot a police officer in the escape, got caught again later and put to death. And Merle's like, you know, I could have been on death row and put to death right along with Rabbit had he, you know, not changed his life. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. So you wouldn't be a bridesmaid in your ex-husband's wedding?
Oh, absolutely not. No, that, I mean, come on. Like, I married the guy, and then all of a sudden, oh, no, this is not, I wouldn't do that.
Has anyone ever asked you to marry him?
Have I ever been proposed to?
Uh-huh.
No.
No? Really? Mm-mm. I'm surprised.
Nope.
I would have thought that would have happened by now.
Yeah, me too.
Touchy subject.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm sorry to go down that road, but I didn't realize, you know, you can get a little sensitive about that.
Just a single life, just living the life right now.
We were talking about Udonis Haslam a little earlier. His first date with his eventual wife, she said, "You should ask me out." He said, "Well, yeah, I will if you pay. Let's go to Popeyes." So their first date was at Popeyes, and she paid. My man.
I need that Denzel line from Training Day right about now, but I can't use it on the air.
Not at all. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776 on a What Are the Odds Wednesday. Jerome Solomon, Moise Kapinda-Bauer, and Lauren Leal. We'll be back in just a minute. Me to blame, 'cause
mama's right. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday? This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
The official ESPN 97.5 app is now available for your iOS or Android device. Stream all your favorite shows live on the go, or go listen to them at your convenience with our on-demand podcast. Just search ESPN 97.5 in your app store and download it today, Jong says. Big exclamation mark. Don't have an iPhone or an Android? You can stream us on any smart device at the all-new ESPN975.com. 713-780-ESPN is your number on What Are the Odds Wednesday. Jerome Solomon, along with Moise Kapinda-Bauer and Lauren Leal. Seem to touch on a real sensitive subject. Lauren, you know, she looked at her hand when I asked if anybody ever proposed to her. I'm like, why'd you look at your hand? Was the ring going to magically appear all of a sudden?
I don't know, maybe in fairy tale land.
Not going to happen, I don't think. Now, how long is the line anyway? I mean, I assume there's a line, right?
Let's not talk about that. I'm just single, living the good life. Focusing on my career right now.
Now tell us, the people who don't know, tell us a little bit. You just finished from U of H?
Yes, I just graduated from U of H, broadcast journalism major, go Cougs. And so now I'm just doing a lot of freelance work, broadcasting, sports, and entertainment. And now I'm here today on The Blitz.
Thanks for joining us. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. RG3 was on today, press conference in Cleveland, I guess his official introduction, and trying to get his career back on track. And it's just become popular to take shots at my man, you know, just.
Even when he has a perfectly normal, natural press conference, people are still taking umbrage with things that he said.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me.
Yeah, and the end of it is something that everybody really jumped on, and this is what he said toward the end.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, like I said, it's a blessing to be in this league and to have the opportunity to play football at the highest level. So I'm really excited about it. And, you know, why not be happy? Like I said, we play a kid's game for a king's ransom. This is the best job in the world. And I want to really embrace that. I want all the guys in that locker room to embrace that and truly try to reach their full potential.
Real quickly, is this something about getting the quarterback position right here too, considering what happened with Johnny and others, so many guys that have been through here? Do you feel a little extra pressure to get it right here as a quarterback?
I mean, no pressure, no diamonds.
And people really went off, and even my man Teddy Bruschi, who played with the Patriots,
was really turned ESPN. And upset about that.
Yeah,
really was
like, what? And the thing is, that's something that it's a Baylor thing. Baylor players and coaches have been saying that since Art Briles got there. It's one of their things, and I think it's actually a good sign that RG3 is going back to the days when he was RG3 and not that quarterback on the sideline who can't get in the game.
And it's savvy of him to understand that he can't answer a Manziel question the right way. Look, he got baited into that, and he's smart enough to recognize there's no way I'm going to say anything about Johnny Manziel that's going to come out the right way, so I might as well not even answer the question directly. And to your point about his Baylor days, I think I kind of stand in amazement how it's all fallen apart from him, and there's been all that dialogue over the last couple of years about him humbling himself and all this nonsense. And I remember covering a few of his games at Baylor, particularly his last game in that bowl game, Alamo Bowl game against Washington. And I'll never forget, I mean, you and I have been doing this for a while, and there are moments that out of all the games that we covered, they just kind of, they're just flashpoints in our mind, but some of them stick out. And I remember him coming into the room, the press conference after the game. They won. He didn't play particularly well, but they won at the end of the game. And his charisma just kind of followed him into the room and filled that entire room up. Mm. And I remember thinking this guy's going to be a star because he had that it factor in terms of commanding a room, having older guys gush over him as they talk to him. And for it to fall apart the way it did in D.C., it's not surprising because it's D.C., but the way he handled it, and some of it is his fault, but some of it is the media just kind of antagonizing him through the entire process. So for him to get a fresh start here, and for them to start off with trying to get him and goad him into something about Manziel when he knows he can't win, and then to get upset that he doesn't answer the question and then walks off on a very popular statement, as you said, from his days at Baylor, is so disingenuous. And I think you would hope that people aren't already lining up to be against him in a new spot when this is a redemptive opportunity for him, but it seems like that's going to be the case.
Yeah, that's what a lot of media has turned into these days, which is really, you know, unfortunate, but it's actually, I'd say media, it's kind of what the world is like. I was looking at a thing online today. I was searching something, and long story to get nowhere good about that particular subject, but I found a bulletin board where there were posts on this particular subject from like 1997. And this was still the early days of, you know, there was no social media at the time. It was the early days. There were no blogs at the time. And this is, newspapers didn't have comment sections and et cetera, but these bulletin boards were starting to prop up. And the conversation on this bulletin board was so civil. You know, it was back and forth, and it was an intelligent debate, and somebody said something really outlandish, and the response was, no, you're incorrect, you know? and he replied back, oh, I'm sorry, I misunderstood. And you don't get that today. Now, almost all interaction, it starts nasty and gets worse.
And
it's crazy.
I can't understand why Bruschi would be so upset over Robert avoiding a gotcha question. And taking numbers,
especially Teddy Bruschi. And I love Teddy as a player, and was around him. I covered him one of his last seasons. I was there covering him with the Patriots when I worked for the Boston Globe when he had a stroke. So yeah, I mean he's a person I have nothing but good things to say about in that sense. But particularly him on gotcha questions and questions period, because he played for the Patriots and he was one of those guys that didn't answer any question that they didn't want to, and that's the way they did things. So they want less talk from a person, and now all of a sudden he gets in the media and he's going to jump on a guy for not going there, and he's like, oh, well, that doesn't show me he's showed any growth. And you mentioned a little bit too, which is really irritating me, this humbling of yourself. What, humble myself for what?
Yeah.
You know, I don't need to humble myself for you. I'm a football player. I'm here to play. I don't have to humble myself to be able to complete a pass. Complete passes is what you need to
do. Do your job.
Score touchdowns. Yeah. You don't need to be humble. You need to score touchdowns. Move the ball up and down the field. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. And I've been getting all these emails. Say, you're probably not the Toyota Center sending me all these emails about, you know, getting in exclusive access to R. Kelly.
I'm good.
That's exactly what I said. I'm like, nah, I'm straight.
Talk about despicable characters.
I'll pass on that. But I thought that Janet Jackson is gonna have to delay her concert tour and put it off. Did you see this?
I heard
news?
That it got postponed. I didn't hear why.
I'll tell you why. In her words, in fact. She says that, and I'll preface this by alerting you that Janet Jackson is 49 years old and she turns 50 in May. And Janet says that she and her husband are busy planning a family and the doctor has recommended rest. So perhaps she is with child.
She's planning a family organically?
At
50 years old?
What?
I'm not passing. Lauren? I'm just saying.
What are you trying to say? Say what you're saying then. You think she's too old to have a baby?
She may be a little bit too old to have a baby.
I just hope they come out all right.
Well, yeah.
Being 50. That's all. Best of luck.
She still got some good eggs up in there?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I don't know. 35 is whenever they start going bad.
I'm a little bit curious about that.
They start going bad at 35.
Would Rick say the milk will go sour? Oh,
we bring a woman on to bring the sensitivity to the issue, yes. And she's there putting people eggs on blast.
Hey, I'm a woman. I got to know these things. You know, that's why time's ticking.
Is that why you're a little jumpy?
So I looked out of my hand when he asked. Nope, okay.
Man, she's got a ticking clock in her hand. It's real, fellas. It's real. 713-780-ESPN. This is the Blitz on a What Are the Odds Wednesday. What are the odds? Lauren gets to 35.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
No Smooth Fred and big time A.J. today. Jerome Solomon and Moise Kapenda-Bauer are sitting in. Join us as well here, Lauren Leal, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. A few people on Twitter. And Lamont is right, too. It's players and celebrities in general need to learn how to avoid gotcha and hypothetical questions. On that, you know, like Bill Belichick never answers hypothetical questions. You know, like, well, no, that didn't happen. And you're like, well, what if? Like, well, I'm not doing the what if because, you know, you're just trying to make, you know, you're trying to make a story out of something that's not there. And so he won't play that game with you. He won't help you out. We had a lot of that over the weekend. I mean, you were out at the Final Four, Lauren. I didn't see you there. What were you doing?
I was at the Fan Fest with Georgia Browns there. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, it was packed, though. I didn't. Sunday, I was over by there because I was going to Toyota Center for the Rockets. It was crowded all week.
It was crazy. Out in Discovery Green, they had to shut down, put on the gates and everything, not let everyone in because it was over capacity. And then inside Fan Fest, kids were going crazy, you know, all the little basketball shooting hoops games. And it was a good weekend. It was a lot of fun. Who did y'all want to win?
Yeah, me.
Yeah, for you.
I was rooting for me. That's exactly who I wanted to win. Didn't matter which team won. The Saturday games are so boring that I wasn't happy about that. And then finally we got a great game on Monday night.
Extraordinary game, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I got to an argument with a guy on Twitter today because people think you're a prisoner of the moment. And it's like I'm not that because I'm one of those people who steps back and – pays attention to history, but I don't think there's any question, or there's little question, but you're not going to be right if you don't think that this finish was the best we've seen in a national championship game. I mean, it was at the buzzer, unlike almost every other one, except for Lorenzo Charles, you know, and NC State beat U of H, but that little baby dunk thing, that was monumental because of,
Faisal Majama,
it's monumentally locally because University of Houston, but it wasn't a spectacular shot or anything. It was, you know, barely a little, you know, baby dunk drop. It was not a big deal. This was a bucket, a running three-pointer, just outstanding. And it came on the heels of that Marcus Page double-clutching.
The sequencing is what made it fantastic. That we saw Carolina come back and Page, the photo of that too, the AP photo of him twisting and contorting his body is outstanding. And him making that shot in advance of Villanova hitting the shot to win the game is what adds to the lore of it. I think there are plenty of moments. To me, you know, Indiana, Syracuse always resonates with me as being very, very young when that game happened, but still just how it unfolded, that Syracuse had all those players and couldn't beat an Indiana team that didn't put really anybody in the NBA that was worth a damn. That moment sticks out.
Yeah, but see, and that was one of those where they had plenty of time. The shot, you know, Keith Smart's shot
wasn't that difficult. Nobody was guarding him.
Yeah.
And it turned out that it was there were still 4 or 5 seconds four left seconds when he pulled the trigger. So, you know, it wasn't but it was they were down a buck by a point. So it was, you know, he misses it. They still had a chance at a tip-in or something. But, you know, a lot of pressure on that. But I think this one was pretty outstanding. And I think it's the same thing. There are no I don't think there are any big-time pros coming out of this game from Monday night at all. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776 is your number. Are we doing Gym of the Day here, John, or is that next hour?
You got something? It's supposed to be right here.
Okay, well, we can do it here. I have to find something.
The gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. The Panhock Jeweler gym of the day.
And, of course, since I can't find it right now, I'll search for it there. But it's pretty easy to find, and I'll tell you what it is. It was just an odd story. There was a huge accident in Queens yesterday as a man was hit by a train. Turns out the man was hit by a train because he'd stolen a kid's cell phone, punched somebody who tried to stop him from stealing the cell phone, and then took off running down the tracks and boom, smack dab, hit by train. I think that's kind of like getting what's coming to you, right?
Yeah, that's the definition of comeuppance. how do you not see the train coming?
Well, that's the thing, though. I mean, if you've been around subway tracks and stuff, they're different lines so and tracks.
Subway train. Okay, I'm thinking.
Yeah, yeah. No, this wasn't like, on open road. Yeah, yeah, okay. I know, you're from Texas. You think everything's all out in the open.
I ain't not seeing a big train coming down. You're talking a subway, okay.
Yeah, it's a train, right?
It's a subway.
That's all right. I'm the same way. Every time I hear train, I think of train.
I think
of
Amtrak. I don't think
right.
of...
Right. I don't think subway.
I'm thinking light rail.
It's a train.
No,
it is. You're right. But if you're from Texas, when you say train, the first thing that comes to mind, like MK says, is Amtrak. Choo-choo.
Once again.
My man.
A train is a train. That's why they call it the A train. The F train. The D train. They don't call it the A subway. It's the A train uptown in Harlem.
This is minutia we're getting into right now.
No, it's not minutia. It's fact. I'm just trying to straighten you out here.
When you're telling the story, I'm envisioning an actual train, not a man running on a subway track. Because you did not say he was on a subway track. You said he got hit by a train. Not the
because
subway.
He got
not
hit
the
by
Metro
a train.
Light Rail. If he got hit by the Metro Light Rail, you said he got hit by a train. He got hit by Metro.
Once again, the man was hit by the F train, a Manhattan-bound F train at the 65th Street Station. Train. End of story. That's your gym of the day.
The gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. The Panhock Jeweler gym of the day.
Oh, Delotti jumped over here. I assumed he's supposed to. Is that supposed to be his cue or something, or he's just here to look pretty?
Oh, to look pretty. Oh. But he's going to do an update next.
I was going to say, what? I mean, we had Lauren here to look pretty, though. That's not exactly
a significant drop off. No disrespect,
somewhat.
David.
We need to show up for rehearsals more often, and these things wouldn't happen.
These things would not happen. But we're gonna use you to talk some baseball when we come back anyway. Hey, Lauren Lill, thank you for joining. Are you going to hang around a little bit longer, maybe? Perhaps? You'll think about it?
Perhaps. I'll think about it. Thanks for having me, guys.
No problem. Enjoyed it thoroughly. We'll be back in a minute with the third hour of the Blitz, and here comes an update from the lovely David Delotti.